This is the gospel reading from St. John. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Then the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I'll raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your forefathers ate manna and died, but he who feeds on this bread will live forever." Here ends our text. The Hunger Games is a series of novels set in a dark world where 12 to 18-year-old kids are chosen to fight to the death for the pleasure of the public. All of John 6, which began with Jesus feeding the 5,000, is about hunger. The crowd has it, Jesus uses it, and this hunger is no game. The crowd has hunger, we have hunger, but it's not for the right thing. Right now, we're content with something called amortality. Time magazine in 2009 said amortality was the number five idea that was changing the world. Amortality is the belief that you can live in the same way, at the same intensity, doing and consuming the same things from late teens till death. There is an 84-year-old supermodel who is the cover woman, it hardly seems right to call her a girl, the cover woman on magazines today. She admits to having lots of plastic surgery. There is Cher and Jane Fonda who made a big deal about strutting their stuff when they were 70. That was 7 years ago. Even though they had the look of a bad taxidermy pieces, whose skin is stretched too tight, as do men like Mick Jagger and Jerry Jones, their public image, nonetheless, is to defy death, to act as if they are amortal, not immortal, not able to die, but without mortality. But we lust after that too. We don't go to the extremes they do, but we do all we can not to go into that dark night of age. We're not like St. Paul. He viewed his body as an aging tent, ready to be taken down, who groaned in this body, longing to be clothed with a dwelling place from heaven, who longed for this mortal to be swallowed up by life. See, that's the point. This is not the life God meant for you to have. This is not what he sent his Son into flesh and blood to redeem you for. This, all of this, is not life at all. This is Neo waking up to find what he thought was life was really him hooked up into a machine, draining his life out of him. That which we crave to have unending youthful days in this mortal body is impossible. Because Jesus says, you have no life in yourself. We don't need what Cher and Jerry have. We don't need death-defying immortality. We need immortality. That's found in the flesh and blood of only one man, Jesus Christ. Jesus says, I live because of the Father. He is referring to the fact that he is begotten of the Father in eternity, not made in time. As he says in John 5, as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself. You have no life in yourself, says Jesus in our text. You're not as young as you feel. Age is not a state of mind. 60 is not the new 40. You're forgetting the meaning, you're forgetting the beginning of our VDMA scripture motto. All men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall. The man Jesus had the life of God coursing through his veins as he was conceived in the womb by the Holy Ghost as he was born of the Virgin Mary. Go on, say the rest. The man Jesus had life eternal in him as he suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. This is jarring and bothering if you bother to think about it. He was life itself. He was perfection itself. He lived a perfect life. There was no reason for him to die. He didn't owe God a death as we do because he never sinned. Yet he died. He who had immortality surging through his body died. How come? Jesus tells us in our text. He gives his flesh for the life of the world. Let's be clear. Jesus says, I give my flesh in place of, instead of, on behalf of the life of the world. Jesus gave his life, the life he got from his Father in eternity, and the life he got from his mother in time, in place of the life of the world. Jesus stood in your shoes, and what sin, death, and the devil has a right to do to you, they did to Jesus, who didn't deserve it. All the fear, all the judgment, all the dying, all the sighing and crying your guilty mortal life deserved, Jesus took on his sinless immortal life. Doing this, Jesus won something. Not for him, because on earth or in heaven could God the Son lack. He won something for you. Jesus won the authority, the power to promise and to give life to mortal sinners. He took their sins upon his sinless body and soul and paid for them. He joined his immortality with our mortality so that we might live. And listen to the promises he makes to poor dying sinners. He will live forever. He has eternal life. This isn't living at 80 like you're 40. This is living at 25 forever. This isn't only being as old as you feel. This is being forever young. This isn't living in defiance of the aging process. This isn't aging. This isn't dying and pretending you're living. This is living forever while dying daily. This is not the life the goddess Eos got Zeus to give her human lover. She asked Zeus to make him immortal, but she forgot to ask for eternal youth. One version ends this way. But when loathsome old age pressed full upon him, and he could not move nor lift his limbs, this seemed to her in her heart the best counsel. She laid him in a room and put to the shining doors. There he babbles endlessly, and no more has strength at all. I'm not hungry for that life, are you? But I'm hungry for the life that Jesus won on the cross, rose from the grave proclaiming, and gives. But where? Where does he give it? In the bread of life. How can you get this bread of life? By eating. By eating with your heart and eating with your mouth. As we work through John 6 these past 3 weeks, your mind has constantly gone to the Lord's Supper, yet I've tiptoed around it. This is because for the Reformed and the Catholic, John 6 is about the Lord's Supper. The Reformed say it proves that the body and blood of Jesus are in communion symbolically. Catholics say it proves they are there physically. Luther said John 6 cannot be applied to the sacrament. Our Lutheran confessions say not so fast. They say John 6 is about spiritual eating of Christ by faith, as when the gospel is preached, and as well as in the Lord's Supper. Historically, the church has connected John 6 to the Lord's Supper. That's why 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish are still today a symbol for the Lord's Supper. But be careful. In John 6, the eating and drinking of Christ is only beneficial. Whoever eats, Jesus will raise up. Whoever eats has eternal life. Whoever eats lives forever. That's not true of communion. 1 Corinthians 11 says eating and drinking Christ in communion wrongly leads to weakness, sickness, and even death. There is no harmful way to believe that the flesh and blood of Jesus was given for your life and is life-giving to you. there is a harmful way to orally eat Jesus' body and drink his blood, and that's eating without believing. It's true. John 6 is not about the institution of the Lord's Supper. That's not going to happen for another year on Maundy Thursday. But John 6 is about the flesh and blood of Jesus. It's also true to say that here Jesus goes out of his way to emphasize that salvation, life, immortality is connected to participating in his actual flesh and blood. But who in our text, you have to look carefully, who in our text brings up eating his body? The crowd. They say, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Jesus responds, "I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man, you have no life in you." Here Jesus uses the same word for eat that they did. But then he goes on to say, "Whoever eats my flesh has eternal life." He does not use the same Greek word. He uses the Greek word for munch. It means to gnaw, nibble, eat audibly. It is used first of animals. It's used 6 times in the New Testament. 5 of the uses are by John, and 4 of them are by Jesus in John 6. Jesus is doing what he so often does. When men stumble over something he has said, Jesus does not go out of his way, like the contemporary churches do, to lower roadblocks to faith. He doesn't say, "Oh, hey, chill out. I'm using eating here as a figure of speech for believing. Just as the only way to receive food for nourishment is by eating, so the only way to receive my promise of life is by believing." No, Jesus doesn't remove stumbling blocks to belief. He raises them. He says, "Not only must you eat my flesh, you must munch and gnaw on me audibly." What? Jesus doesn't want believers? Jesus doesn't want followers? Jesus doesn't want others to have his life? Yes, yes, and yes, he wants them to have all that. But if you only believe the things Jesus says that make sense to you, well, then you don't really believe in Jesus. You believe in yourself. The picture in John 6 is the opposite one in the upper room. There and at the altar here, Jesus says, "This bread is my body." In John 6, Jesus says, "This body is bread." Can you see how in the upper room, the hunger of the apostles would be no game? A year earlier, they had heard Jesus say, "His body is bread." And they knew that as they ate bread to live physically, so they were to believe its flesh and blood are life to believers. Now in the upper room, Jesus takes bread and says, "This bread is my body." Eating by faith is joined to eating by mouth. Where John 6 left them feeding on words of promise, the Lord's Supper leaves them feeding on the body and bread, the body bread and the blood wine. Where John 6 gives them promises about Jesus in their ears and heart, the Lord's Supper gave them Jesus in their mouth. Don't forget where this all began several weeks ago, with the hostile crowd throwing the manna provided by Moses in Jesus' face. Our text ends with Jesus saying bluntly, "Your forefathers ate manna and died." Everyone who thinks that they are immortal is going to die. Oh, the hunger they feel for life is real, but it's not a game you win by pretending you're not aging. The real hunger for life is to press from our hearts what we sing in the hymn. "Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Feed me with promises, feed me with sacraments. Only feed me with thee, not me." Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.